from the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, armed with new allegations of Department of Justice misconduct, House conservatives released a 12-page resolution yesterday calling for a second special counsel to investigate the Department of Justice and the FBI. Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio will be here in just a moment to talk about it. And the fate of a 15-year-old Nigerian girl could decide whether sectarian war breaks out in Nigeria. Tina Ramirez, president and founder of Hardwire, will join us with the latest on this tragic situation. Also, AB 2943, the California bill that we've talked about many times, that outlaws helping anyone with unwanted same-sex attractions or gender confusion, is still alive in the legislative process. Nancy Piercy, author of Love Thy Body, Answering Hard Questions About Life and Sexuality, has written an article laying out four reasons why liberals should even oppose the therapy ban. She'll join us to talk about it. Also yesterday, another primary, and the trends are not what the media and the left were hoping for. We'll talk about it later here on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com, if you happen to miss anything on your way home, it's all archived right there at TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, at T. Perkins. All right, a group of House Republicans called Tuesday for the appointment of a second special counsel to investigate concerns about the Department of Justice and the FBI. Now, this comes just days after President Trump first called for an investigation into whether his campaign was infiltrated or surveillance was done of his campaign by an alleged FBI informant. This information coming forth from the New York Times and others. With us now is Congressman Jim Jordan. He represents the 4th Congressional District of Ohio. He also serves on the House Judiciary Committee and the Oversight and Government Reforms Committee, and he is the founding chairman of the House Freedom Caucus. Congressman Jim Jordan, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, good to be with you.
I know you're in a committee and you just stepped out. I appreciate you joining us. You were one of those yesterday calling for this second special counsel.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, Jeff Sessions has said you need extraordinary circumstances to name a special counsel. Well, how about this fact pattern? Director Comey's been fired. Deputy Director McCabe has been fired, lied three times under oath, according to the Inspector General. General Counsel at the FBI, Jim Baker, has been demoted, reassigned. Deputy Director of Counterintelligence, Peter Strzok, demoted, reassigned. Lisa Page, FBI Counsel, demoted, reassigned. Why did these five people, why were they fired, demoted, or reassigned? Because they're the people who, what did they do? They ran the Clinton investigation, and they launched the Trump-Russia investigation. They're the people who took the dossier to the secret court to get the secret warrant. They're the people who maybe were involved in what we now look like, now looks like some kind of informant. So all this, if that's not extraordinary, somebody tell me what is. So we've called for this a number of months ago. We are reiterating our call with the resolution that Mr. Zeldin introduced.
All right, what has been the response thus far? And I know that this is not the first time for the call of a second special counsel, but now with this information coming from the New York Times and others that there was this informant, the president himself saying, hey, I want this investigated, is there a receptivity to this call for a second special counsel?
Heck yeah, you've got three committee chairmen in Congress who've said we need a special counsel. You've got the majority leader, the majority whip, who've said we need a special counsel. We first called for it 10 months ago, and in that 10-month time period, we have learned all kinds of troubling things, like the fact they took a dossier, this disproven salacious document, took it to a court, didn't tell the court who paid for it, didn't tell the court that the guy who wrote it, Christopher Steele, had been fired by the FBI because he was leaking information, leaking the fact that he's working for the FBI, something you don't do. They didn't tell the court those two critical facts. Now, Tony, you and I go to court. We have to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. The FBI should have to do the same thing. And now the Justice Department says, look, don't worry, though, Congress. Don't worry. We can investigate ourselves. Even though we did that, even though they've tried to hide information from us, we've caught them doing that, redacting information on some of the Lisa Page, Peter Strzok text messages that they should not have redacted. Even though all that, they say, don't worry, We can investigate ourselves. We don't need a special counsel. And we're saying baloney. The American people have the right to know the answer to this. We need a special counsel to get those answers, and that's what we're calling for.
I mean, I think every American should be troubled by this, because what this essentially is that you had a rogue operation, a politically motivated operation, I'm not sure which, within the Department of Justice, going to the secret court with a manufactured document to get these warrants, and there's no oversight because it's a secret court, or limited oversight. Certainly the American people don't have oversight. Congress doesn't have oversight. So, I mean, this is about bringing daylight to a what could be a very troubling, not just an incident, but this could be systemic within the Department of Justice, which I think it is.
Transparency is a good thing. That's what the president's been calling for. That's what we've been calling for. We have this amazing thing in our great constitutional form of government, separate and equal branches of government. The legislative branch has a right to see. So we have a right to get the information that allows us to do our constitutional oversight duties, and that's what we're asking for. The Department of Justice has been tough. They're always dragging their feet. It's always like pulling teeth, and that's a problem. Think about this question. I mean, think about this, because they say, oh, don't worry, we can investigate ourselves. Think about just a special counsel, Rod Rosenstein. Can Rod Rosenstein oversee an obstruction of justice investigation into the firing of James Comey when he's the guy who wrote the memo recommending the firing of James Comey? I mean, that's how absurd this gets. So at some point, you got to say, look, we're tired of the runaround. We're tired of it. We want this information. But if you're not going to give it to us, we want a special counsel who can go get subpoenas, who can go in front of a grand jury, who can do all those things and get the information that we need to get answers.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio, founding chairman of the Freedom Caucus, my guest. Now, Jim, is part of the problem that the attorney general has recused himself from the Russia investigation, which allowed for this appointment of the first special counsel? And as these things come about, when requests are being made for this information, he's having to step back from this, and this is more of the career service people that are making these decisions?
Rod Rosenstein's making the decisions, plain and simple. Jeff Sessions doesn't know where his recusal begins, where it ends. That's a concern. That's not me just making a subjective statement. That is an objective statement based on questioning in front of the Judiciary Committee last fall. So he doesn't know if he's allowed to look at Uranium One issues was the question. He doesn't know if he can or can't. I mean, he gave conflicting answers within about three minutes. So I don't know that he knows where his recusal actually starts and stops. That is a concern. So there's lots of problems. All we're saying is we are a separate and equal branch of government elected by the American people. Rod Rosenstein his name has never been on the ballot. He wasn't elected, but yet he can stop an elected body, the Congress of the United States, from getting information we rightfully should have to do our oversight duties. That's a problem.
I agree. I do think it's a problem. And I've had some conversations with some of the political appointees at the Department of Justice, and they've expressed concerns about that the mechanism over there is it's like it has a life of its own, uncontrolled by the president's own political appointees.
It's not supposed to be that way.
It's not supposed to work that way.
And go back to the first ones, the names I mentioned. James Comey's name wasn't on the ballot. He was confirmed. He had a 10-year thing, but he's been fired. Deputy Director Andrew McCabe's name was never on a ballot. He's been fired. He lied three times under oath, according to the Inspector General's report. FBI General Counsel Jim Baker demoted, reassigned. Why? We don't know why. Why doesn't Justice Department tell us that? Why'd you demote Jim Baker? Why was he removed as FBI Counsel, General Counsel? Peter Strzok demoted, reassigned. We know why that happened. We saw that in the text message. The same with Lisa Page. So these are the five people, the key people who ran the entire Clinton investigation. These are the key people who launched the Trump-Russia investigation. These are the people who put together who took this dossier to the FISA court. And we don't know how much, but maybe they were involved with this possible informant that we've heard about, who was talking with folks associated on the periphery of the Trump campaign. So that happens. And never forget the one text message too, Tony. September 2nd, 2016. between a text message between Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, where they say, POTUS, President of the United States, President Obama, POTUS wants to know everything we're doing. And the operative word there is everything. Now, what did that refer to? We don't know, but that's why we need to document.
Well, it wasn't their it probably wasn't their personal relationship that they had going on.
Yeah, well, I don't ever talk about that, but what I do know is they talked about an insurance policy. They talked about the president of the United States wants to know everything we're doing. They had this animus towards President Trump where they said he should lose $100 million to zero. That's what I do talk about. And then they were actually picked for the Mueller team. So all this happened. We need the documents so we can actually bring in these people. I want to interview. I want to depose Lisa Page. I think that's important. So, but it'd be nice if you had all the information ahead of time so you could ask the right questions and get the right get the answers for the American people.
Well, Congressman Jordan, I think this is critical given the fact that even those at the Department of Justice have concerns that this thing it's a life, it has a life of its own. It's uncontrollable, and Congress has a responsibility for the oversight. And I think that's the only way we're going to get to the truth, because the Attorney General, and I'm not going to debate the merits of whether or not he made the right decision to recuse himself or not. Obviously, the president is not happy that he did, but he did. And I think that's the problem, is that he is not in control of what's happening at the Department of Justice as it pertains to this special counsel and the investigation.
Yep. Yep. No, I think that's been a concern from the get-go. We need the special counsel. I don't like special counsel. I mean, who does? But I don't see any other remedy. I don't think the Department of Justice can investigate themselves. I don't think the FBI can investigate themselves. The Inspector General has done good work, but he doesn't have the prosecution authority and power that the special counsel would or a U.S. attorney would. So, you know, I just don't see another remedy. And I see the fact pattern that exists here as warning a second special counsel.
Has the president weighed in on this call for a second special counsel?
Think he's weighed in specifically. Obviously, he's concerned. He wants transparency for the American people. Here's one other issue I think is important that the Department of Justice will not show us. Rod Rosenstein wrote a memo on May 17th of last year outlining the parameters of special counsel Mueller's investigation into the Trump-Russia issue. That there was an addendum to that memorandum on August 2nd of last year. We didn't learn about that memorandum, that addendum, until a few weeks back. And when we learned about it, it was made public, but most of it was redacted. 70% is blacked out. Just the part dealing with Paul Manafort was actually public. And Mr. Meadows and I sent a letter to the Attorney General, to Rod Rosenstein. We want to see that, because we think the American people have a right to know the full parameters of an investigation into the president they elected. We're waiting for that document, too.
Well, for one, we appreciate the work that you and the Freedom Caucus and the other conservative members of Congress are doing to try to bring clarity to this issue and make sure the Department of Justice is operating with justice. Jim Jordan, thanks so much for joining us.
You bet, Tony. Take care.
Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio, by the way, you may have heard his name has been thrown about as a potential speaker candidate to replace Paul Ryan as he is retiring. Known Jim for a number of years. Great guy. Okay, when we come back, the fate of a 15-year-old girl in Nigeria could decide the fate of the country. That's next. Don't go away.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, civil liberties attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, senior research fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Have you ever wondered how your cell phone company is spending your hard-earned money? For years, big money has flowed from big mobile carriers to liberals fighting to fund organizations like Planned Parenthood. With Patriot Mobile, your money will only be used to support conservative organizations like Family Research Council Action. Patriot Mobile is offering unlimited talk, text, and data at better prices than anything you can get from Big Mobile. More importantly, up to 5% of your monthly bill goes specifically to support conservative causes at no additional cost to you. You get the same nationwide coverage with unlimited talk, text, and data for a better price. Right now, unlimited talk and text starts at $20 a month. And as an exclusive FRC Action offer, get a free $50 credit with a 24-month contract when you use promo code FRCA18. To switch, call 1-800-A-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com. You have probably heard a lot about the LGBT movement on television, in social media, in the news, and from celebrities. But do you know what is true and what is not true? FRC has created a new resource that gives you the facts on LGBT issues to help you navigate challenging topics in human sexuality. To get factual, practical answers on how to respond to the LGBT movement, go to frc.org/LGBT.
Since the 2016 election, faith, family, and freedom are on the move in America. Can values voters keep the momentum going in November? If you're like me, you care a lot about where our culture is headed. Now is the time to stand with our leaders and fight for our values. To join this noble mission, mark your calendar for the Values Voter Summit on September 21st to 23rd in Washington, D.C. Past speakers include Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Paul Ryan, Kirk Cameron, Dana Loesch, and Ben Carson. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins, the website, tonyperkins.com. All right, divided between a predominantly Muslim North and a predominantly Christian South, Nigeria is the home of some of the world's most vicious scenes of religious conflict. It's ranked 14th on Open Doors USA's list of hardest places for Christians to live. And now authorities warn that the fate of a 15-year-old Nigerian girl could decide whether sectarian war breaks out in Nigeria. Joining us now is Tina Ramirez, president and founder of Hardwire Inc., a nonprofit organization dedicated to advancing religious freedom in law and policy worldwide. Tina, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you. It's nice to be with you, Tony.
Good to talk with you again. And again, let me just thank you for all the work that you and Hardwire do as it pertains to religious freedom and the persecuted around the world. Fill us in on the details here. I know you've been doing a lot of work, your organization, a lot of work in Nigeria. This is one of the hottest spots when it comes to religious persecution that we're seeing on the globe. What's behind this case with the 14-year-old girl?
Yeah, Tony, I think it's a great thing to be talking about right now because President Trump just recently met with the president of Nigeria, and the situation there has been escalating in recent years. People might remember that Boko Haram, a terrorist group operating in the north of Nigeria, Boko Haram means against Western education, had kidnapped nearly 300 girls, many of whom were Christian schoolgirls from their school, and many of them are still being held. They've captured even more girls, but this one girl is seeking to return, and Boko Haram will not permit her to because she has not renounced her faith in Christ. So it's a really horrifying situation. We know that they have been raping the girls and forcing them to convert. It's amazing that this young girl has had the courage and the strength to stand up against such evil.
Yeah, Leah, I think your last name, Sherabu, is one of the girls. She apparently escaped at one point in her captivity, taken back to Boko Haram. Other girls released. They're saying they're not releasing her, as you said, because she will not renounce her faith in Christ. And so now you have this divide in the country where you have the Christian Association of Nigeria and the Pentecostal Association, Christian Association, warning that if she dies in the hands of Boko Haram, it could touch off a full-blown religious war in Nigeria.
Yeah, and this isn't, this is just the kind of the climax of several years of just a lack of government engagement to even help these girls get out in the first place. So there's no reason that any of these girls should have taken so long for them to have escaped, or that they're still holding them. And then on top of that, you've got attacks all over the country across the north, where not just from Boko Haram, but from Fulani herdsmen, where even just last month, two priests and 17 worshipers were just slaughtered in the middle of a morning service. But there have been about almost, 500 Christians murdered in Benue State, where this happened in this year alone. And so, these are gun attacks, these are machete attacks, these are brutal attacks where hundreds of Christians are being specifically targeted and massacred by whether it's Boko Haram or by Fulani herdsmen or other militants across the country. And very little is being done by the government. And so there's a great frustration on the part of the Christian community in Nigeria. So finally, I think yesterday when they held the funeral for these two priests and the other worshipers, the vice president of Nigeria actually showed up with Simbazo and expressed his condolences, but it was the first time that they'd seen any kind of response from the government saying that they're sorry, that there's more to be done. And the government was able to send some militias in to help protect Benue State. But Benue State is predominantly Christian. It's not even a predominantly Muslim state, and yet you have these attacks being coordinated across even Christian states by Fulani herdsmen. So you've got so many problems in Nigeria right now, from Boko Haram to the Fulani herdsmen and then the government impunity, that Christians are definitely fed up, and they have every right to be.
And Tina Ramirez, you mentioned the president spoke out on this as he met recently with the president of Nigeria. In fact, some said it is highly unusual for an American president to speak publicly to a world leader in defense of Christians, but he was very clear on this. We've had an absence of a voice in America speaking out for the persecuted, let alone for persecuted Christians. Might that make a difference in this case with President Trump and his administration so focused on religious freedom?
Oh, absolutely. I think people should be so thankful for what the president is doing, not just in Nigeria, but in Iraq and so many other parts of the world where he's really making tough political choices. In the past, the State Department kind of would advise the president, don't say anything negative, whether it's Saudi Arabia or India or China. And, we know how Secretary Clinton had capitulated when she first went to China and said, religious freedom's off the table. We care about our economics more than anything else. So the fact that he has really stood up in defense of persecuted Christians says a lot. And I think we should commend it. We should be thankful for it, because it's just very rare. Not even President Bush did what we see President Trump doing. So it's very encouraging.
Tina Ramirez, as always, great to talk with you. Thanks for joining us today for this latest from Nigeria. And again, thanks for the great work that you're doing at Hardwired.
Oh, thank you, Tony. Yeah, and congratulations on your appointment to the Commission on Religious Freedom. We need more strong voices there. So
thank you. Look forward to continuing to work with you, Tina, on many of these cases.
Yeah,
Tina Ramirez. Go ahead, Tina.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, if your listeners wanted to learn more about what they can do to actually help these Christians in Nigeria, they're welcome to visit our website at hardwiredglobal.org and learn how we're establishing teams across northern Nigeria to actually defend these persecuted believers.
And we'll have a link to that on our website as well to encourage people to do that. Tina, thanks so much for being with us. Tina Ramirez with Hardwired.com. Go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and you can follow the links over to find out how you can partner with organizations like that that are out there on the front lines defending these Christians who are being persecuted and other religious minorities. By the way, Tina, their group has defended others as well, Yazidis in Iraq and elsewhere. Okay, when we come back, Nancy Piercy joins us to talk about why liberals should be against the gag bill in California that bans therapy. We're going to talk about it when we come back. Don't go away.
Hello, can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice.
You have probably heard a lot about the LGBT movement on television, in social media, in the news, and from celebrities. But do you know what is true and what is not true? FRC has created a new resource that gives you the facts on LGBT issues to help you navigate challenging topics in human sexuality. To get factual, practical answers on how to respond to the LGBT movement, go to frc.org/LGBT. For years, big money has flowed from big mobile carriers to liberals fighting to fund organizations like Planned Parenthood. With Patriot Mobile, a portion of your bill will be used to support conservative organizations like Family Research Council Action. And as an exclusive FRC Action offer, get a free $50 credit with a 24-month contract when you use promo code FRCA18. Call now 1-800-A-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com. If you think anti-Semitism is a thing of the past, think again. In the last 3 years, over 1,700 anti-Semitic incidents have occurred on college campuses across the country. This new anti-Semitism is disguised simply as opposition to the State of Israel's policies toward Palestinians. But a closer look at these incidents reveal how Jewish college students are being attacked merely for believing that Israel should exist. For more information on this important issue, visit frc.org/antisemitism.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. All right, the California Assembly approved a bill on April 19, 2018, 50 to 18. Now, this tells churches and other organizations with traditional beliefs about gender and sexual orientation that advocating for their views could get them sued. AB 2943 declares advertising, offering to engage in, or engaging in sexual orientation change efforts with an individual is illegal under the state's consumer fraud law. Now, the bill's passed the House, the Assembly, and it's over in the Senate, still alive, despite a lot of opposition. Now, this could, I mean, it's far-reaching because it's very vague, and it could be interpreted by the courts to even make it illegal to sell books that talk about how you can deal with unwanted same-sex attractions. If someone buys that book, that's a financial transaction that could be illegal. All right. A compelling article that I read the other day asserts why even liberals should actually oppose California's ban on therapy. With us now is Nancy Piercy. She's the author of the column on CNSnews.com. And she's the author of Love Thy Body, Answering Hard Questions About Life and Sexuality, and the director of the Francis Schaeffer Center for Worldview and Culture at Houston Baptist University. Nancy, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, you have come up with four reasons why liberals should oppose this California ban on therapy.
Right. The bill claims to outlaw so-called conversion therapy, but it goes far beyond therapists. It applies to anyone who says that people can change their sexual or gender identity. And what the drafters of the bill don't seem to realize is that that targets a lot of liberals. In my article for CNS News, I point out that a lot of liberals do not agree with the dogma that sexuality is immutable. Studies have shown that the sexual identity can change. The slogan on the left today is sexuality is fluid. Fluidity is the big watchword these days. And the main researcher here is Lisa Diamond. She's with the American Psychological Association, and she herself identifies as a lesbian. And she found, to her own great surprise, that among those who had come out as homosexual, about 80% changed their identity label at least once to bisexual, queer, unlabeled, or even back to heterosexual. So get that, 80% of homosexual-identified people have changed their sexual identity at least once. So Lisa Diamond found that, in addition to that, those who identify as homosexual, almost half, about 45%, reported sexual attraction to the opposite sex in the previous year. In fact, about 10% actually reported having sex with someone of the opposite sex during the previous years. So these categories are not watertight. As Diamond says, they're not natural phenomena. And an article in The New Scientist sums up the research with this title. It said, sexuality is fluid. It's time to get past, quote, born this way, unquote. So what this means is the California bill targets even a lot of liberals, at least the ones who are paying attention to the latest science. And so this is a contradiction on the left that we really should exploit and help more moderate liberals recognize that this bill is bad for liberals, too. This is not just a conservative issue, that liberals should be mobilizing against this bill as well.
Now, you said this infringes on the liberty of LGBT people.
Yeah, because you realize it bans not only efforts to change sexual orientation, but also gender identity. And that runs counter to the dominant view in sex education literature today. There's an organization called SECUS, which is a Sexuality Information and Education Council of the United States. It is the largest and most influential source for all sex education courses across the country. And it states explicitly, people's understanding of their gender identity may change over the course of their lifetimes. So this is really a standard view on the liberal side. The drafters of the bill are out of touch with their own people. Liberals have proposed that gender and sexual identity is fluid. In the article, I quote a psychotherapist from way back in 1998 who wrote, people don't want to fit into any boxes, not gay, straight, lesbian, or bisexual ones. They want to be free to change their minds. And that's why I say it infringes on the liberty of LGBT people to choose a counselor of their choice when they are exercising their freedom to change their minds.
It does. Now, what they allow for is you can change your mind one way. As long as you're moving toward the left's view of sexual confusion, you're free to have help. But you're not free to have help to bring sanity and an alignment, if you will, to your biological gender and your identity, your thought process. Nancy, we're up against a break. Can you hold on so we could, because I want to get to the other two points that you bring out in this article.
Sure, that'd be fine.
Okay. All right, folks, Nancy's going to stick around. I hope you will as well. Then we're going to go to your phone calls here in just a little bit on Washington Watch. So don't go away. We're coming back with more Washington Watch right here. Don't touch that dial. All right, we're coming back.
Are you interested in making a real impact in public policy and culture? Are you looking for more internship experience at a Christian organization in the heart of our nation's capital? If you answered yes, spend a semester in Washington, D.C. with Family Research Council through our internship program. You will get a chance to experience our country's rich history and culture and be immersed in the most important political debates of our day. Further, you will develop the skills required to advance faith, family, and freedom in our nation. Family Research Council's internship program includes free housing just a block away from Capitol Hill and the Supreme Court, as well as a paid stipend. As an intern, you will gain invaluable public policy experience in a professional work environment under the oversight and mentorship of FRC experts and scholars. Learn more about the FRC internship program at frc.org/internships. Again, that's frc.org/internships.
Since the 2016 election, faith, family, and freedom are on the move in America. Can values voters keep the momentum going in November? If you're like me, you care a lot about where our culture is headed. Now is the time to stand with our leaders and fight for our values. To join this noble mission, mark your calendar for the Values Voters Summit on September 21st to 23rd in Washington, D.C. And join hundreds of Americans who, like you, want a culture in which human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers at this conference include Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Paul Ryan, Laura Ingraham, Kirk Cameron, Dana Loesch, Ben Carson, Sean Hannity, and Mark Levin. You'll also find plenty of networking opportunities with attendees and organizations that share a Christian worldview on issues like religious liberty, the sanctity of life, natural marriage, and national security. On September 21st to 23rd, stand with Values Voters to restore our great nation. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org. Hello, can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice.
For years, big money has flowed from big mobile carriers to liberals fighting to fund organizations like Planned Parenthood. With Patriot Mobile, a portion of your bill will be used to support conservative organizations like Family Research Council Action. And as an exclusive FRC Action offer, get a free $50 credit with a 24-month contract when you use promo code FRCA18. Call now 1-800-A-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. Nancy Piercy, my guest. She's written a recent article, but it's CNSNews.com. You can find it CNSNews.com or go to TonyPerkins.com. Follow the links over. All right, Nancy, thanks for sticking around. We got to the first two points. The third reason is that you say the bill bans a practice that it can't even define.
Right. The bill's drafters use the term sexual orientation without seeming to realize that academic researchers say there's no single feature that qualifies a person as homosexual or lesbian. In other words, there's feelings, there's behavior, there's identity, there's romantic attraction, there's sexual attraction. In fact, the radical left is pushing the notion that sexuality can be any one of these issues, and they can all contradict one another. And this is being taught to our children down to kindergarten. There's a cartoon. It's ubiquitous these days. It's being taught across the nation, and it's called The Gender Unicorn. You've probably seen it. It was created by a trans rights organization, and it shows a little unicorn cartoon and tells students down to kindergarten that sexuality consists of five components and that none of them need to align with one another, that you have gender identity, you have gender expression, you have what they call sex assigned at birth, which is their way of saying biological sex, there's physical attraction, there's romantic attraction, and so on. And so the big question in academic research today is, what is sexual orientation? Is it feelings, behavior, identity, or what? And the California lawmakers don't bother to define it. They simply throw all of those terms into the bill without any legal definition. And so here's where we stand then. This bill is poised to punish professional therapists, to damage their reputation, to threaten their livelihood, all based on a concept that lawmakers cannot even define. And of course, it's not just therapists. the bill goes beyond therapists and charges at anyone who says people can change their sexual or gender identity could be in legal jeopardy. So this is not a good bill. A good bill does not threaten people with legal punishment and repercussions for concepts that it cannot even define.
Nancy, I got to deviate here from your article, and I got to ask you a question, because as we're talking about this, I mean, what are the long-term consequences for a society where, I mean, you talk about the bill that it doesn't, it's just not logical, it's not reasonable, it doesn't have definitions, they just throw these terms out there. But isn't this kind of what happens when you deny reality in basic biology and science and logic and reason? I mean, you can make it up as you go.
Yeah, that's a good point. In the CNS News article, I actually have a story of a young girl. She's only 14 years old, and she was interviewed. And this was not on a Christian website. It was a liberal website. But she had transitioned to live as a boy, as a trans boy, at age 11. And then 3 years later, she had detransitioned and embraced her biological identity as a girl. And what she said was just priceless. She said, it's not conversion therapy to learn to love your body. And I have a new book out called Love Thy Body. And it was in print before I read her interview, but it would have been a great quote to use. Because what was she saying? She's saying, a law like this is supposedly aimed at getting rid of, at outlawing conversion therapy. And she's saying, this is not conversion therapy. All I learned to do was embrace my biological identity. That my gender identity should align with my biology. And you are absolutely right. That is the scientific view. The scientific view is that we should respect the structure of our body, and that the other dimensions of our personality, like gender identity and gender expression, should all align, be in harmony with our body. And we will be much happier and healthier when we live with that kind of internal harmony.
But if we reject that at the most basic elements of society, the individual, the ramifications of this will be widespread as we move down the path as a society.
Oh, the ramifications are extremely widespread. Think of it this way. The only way the law can treat a trans woman, that is someone born male, the same as a biological woman, is to deny the relevance of biology and to declare that gender is just a matter of internal feelings. Well, as soon as the state does that, the state has essentially decided not to recognize your biological identity, and then the state can decide who qualifies as he or she. And if that sounds exaggerated, that is exactly why public schools have begun passing policies telling teachers who they must call he or she, regardless of the student's biological sex.
But let me ask you that. But how will, if you do that, how do you limit it to gender and sexuality?
You're right. You don't. If you deny gender, what does that mean for marriage? I mean, in the past, the state recognized marriage as a pre-political right. Right? It's based on the fact that humans are sexually reproducing species. They're male and female. But the only way the state can treat same-sex couples the same as opposite-sex couples is to deny the relevance of biology and to say, to redefine marriage as just an emotional commitment. The trouble is, of course, we have lots of different emotional commitments, so the state has claimed the right to decide arbitrarily which of those emotional commitments qualify as marriage. So you're right, as soon as you deny gender, it's going to apply to all of our other biologically based relationships, primarily marriage and family.
But when you start making public policy that is contrary to reality, to biology, and to science, and I know it starts with human sexuality and the relationships that emanate from that, but I don't even think it can be contained to that. Because once you jettison science, logic, and reason, I think you can come up with all kinds of public policy that has no basis in fact or truth.
Right, right. And if you're reading the activists on this, especially lawyers, they say the next step will be parenthood. Because until now, you are your child's parent because of a biological relationship. If biology doesn't count, well, the only way that the law can treat same-sex parents the same as opposite-sex parents is to deny the relevance of biology, because in a same-sex couple, at least one parent is not biologically related to any children that they have. Well, what does that mean? That means you will be your child's parent only by the permission of the state. And what the state gives, the state can take away. So our rights are no longer unalienable. And as soon as you have each member of the family relating directly to the state rather than to each other, you have totalitarianism.
Absolutely right. All the power then is concentrated into the state to declare what is, even though it may not be.
Yes.
That's the power you give to the state. Nancy Piercy, thank you so much for joining us. Fascinating article and a fascinating book that you have written as well. And I'm going to encourage folks to check it out at our website, tonyperkins.com.
Thank you very much.
All right. Have a great day. Nancy Piercy, her book, Love Thy Body, Answering Hard Questions About Life and Sexuality. You can find links at tonyperkins.com. Look, what this is doing is untethering public policy from reality, from science, from reason and logic. And if those terms sound familiar, it's because the left is always challenging social conservatives, Christians, that they are anti-science, anti-reason, anti-logic. What can be more anti-science, anti-reason, anti-reality than being able to define your own sexuality, despite biology, despite the, well, enough. It's dangerous because you are, what Nancy said, I hope you caught that, is that this leaves within the, this puts into the hands of the state, the government, the power to define what is. And that leads to totalitarian government. And we're seeing that. I mean, have we not been seeing that, where people refuse to acknowledge what the state has created, and therefore they are brought under the penalty of the law? Bakers, florists. And it will not contain itself. I mean, it will for a while. But once you concentrate this type of unchecked power, apart from natural law, apart from, again, logic, science, and reason, the state can go anywhere. All right. Before we run out of time, I want to – we've had the – I guess yesterday was the third wave of early primary states. Yesterday, Arkansas, Kentucky, and Georgia. Voters went to the polls. And here's what we're seeing is that the turnout actually has been increasing. The trends that we saw early in the special elections, where there was high liberal turnout, and the predictions were that there was going to be this blue wave. Well, so far it's turning out to be a blue sprinkle. The Republican turnout, conservative turnout, has been setting some records. Let's see here. Let me give you a couple. Even in Texas, the Democratic turnout was at a record low. Arkansas, the Republicans had a strong turnout there. Same in Georgia. But I want to go back, and I'll do some more looking into the results of yesterday. But I want to go back to actually one of last week's elections that we've had some research done into, looking at Pennsylvania and Idaho and the primaries there. This was looking at what was being communicated to voters. And we worked with a group that does kind of analytics looking at, you know, what was happening in the election. Well, here's the interesting thing. The top issues, GOP candidates and groups advertising in the Pennsylvania and Idaho primaries ran more ads on broadcast TV about social issues than any other political issue, followed by taxes, health care, trade, and the budget. There were nearly two times as many ads containing a social issue message than a tax message in these primaries. Now, we're always taught it's all about dollars and cents. It's all about the economy. These primaries are showing it's about the social issues. In fact, as I said, twice as many ads on social issues than any of the other topics. And in the closing days of the election, there was a ramp up of social issues. This is what the advertisers, those that are studying what it is to motivate and move voters, this was the messages that they were putting out. These were the messages they were putting out. The social issues. That was what was connecting with voters to get them to the polls. And what we're seeing is that the numbers are actually pretty healthy. Now, there is strong turnout in some cases on the left side of the political equation. In fact, we talked about this, Democrats kind of almost having a civil war within the party with the really, really far out there lefts, you know, the Bernie Sanders wing of the party and the more moderates. And what's happening is that the Bernie Sanders wing appear to be turning voters out better than the moderate wing of the Democratic Party. Not surprised by that. You know, voters are motivated, by somebody who stands for something clear and defined, even if it's on the left or the right. And that's the problem with a lot of seasoned politicians. They've learned how to maneuver in the middle. And I think the age of the middle is over. I think Barack Obama proved that. Donald Trump proved that. And I think more candidates stand for something defined, clearly defined, again, whether it's the left or the right, they're going to find a strong, enthusiastic base of support. And we're seeing that in the primaries. Those candidates communicating these strong messages on the social issues, we're finding a more aggressive, robust turnout of voters. I mean, but people don't turn out for milquetoast. They turn out for the meat, for something that is defined, something that matters, that has meaning. All right, out of time. Sorry, I'd hope to get to the phones today, but I wanted to cover all that. By the way, be sure and be with me tomorrow because we're going to have a number of our pastors from our Watchmen on the Wall Pastors Conference that kicks off here in just a moment. So be sure and tune in tomorrow. We're going to have some special guests for you here on Washington Watch. Until then, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, prepared, and taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit tonyperkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.